Let us lift up our hearts together in prayer, dear congregation, as we begin this service. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. In him who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's sing together with Psalter 373. And then the first four verses, and then the last two. So 1 through 4, and 9 and 10. All praise ye the name of Jehovah, and there are many incentives to do so. 373, 1 through 4, 9 and 10.
Oh.
Let's hear the word of God tonight from the book of Thessalonians, the first book, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, where God's word is, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray you, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." So far, this scripture reading, let us now confess together with our hearts, as I may also do with my mouth, the words of the Apostles' Creed, which we believe in the Trinity. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered and upon Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick, the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic, that means universal, Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And then lastly, for the instruction, we will read from page 112 in the back of your Psalter, coming now to the last head of the doctrines on the perseverance of saints. So let's read Article 1. Whom God calls according to his purpose to the communion of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and regenerates by the Spirit, he delivers also from the dominion and the slavery of sin in this life, though not altogether from the body of sin and the infirmities of the flesh, so long as they continue in this world. So an opening statement about the reality of saved is not entirely without the struggles of sin. Let's pray together, seek the Lord for the blessing on this evening hour and the word of God that we hope to consider. Let us pray. All-knowing and everywhere present God of the heavens and of the earth, we gather here again tonight before Thee. Before Thee, for whom no one is hidden, and also before whom nothing is hidden. And Lord, that is comfort to many in the world, who like Peter, despite their falls, could say, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that despite I love Thee. And Lord, that Thou knowest all things and that nothing is hidden is for many great discomfort. For Thou art our judge, and we will have to give an account to Thee of our deeds, especially what we did with Thy Son and Thy Spirit, whom Thou hast so generously and repeatedly set before us and striven with our spirit. And, O gracious God, we pray tonight that Thou wilt not enter into judgment with us. For as the poet says, in Thy sight no one is justified, no one personally, no one also as churches. And we stand all guilty. Let that sink in, Lord, that we may look this evening from our own self unto that faithful and gracious Savior. Thou knowest, Lord God, that even though we are sinners, Thou dost royally invite us to return to Thee. And therefore we plead this evening Thy mercy and Thy works of old, for they encourage us to come to Thy throne boldly. And even if tonight, Lord, our prayers and our motives in prayer are not pure, we trust that Thou art able to purify. May we lay all our prayers and all our thoughts and all our listening and preaching tonight before Thee in the name of Jesus. And will Thou graciously take away all what was amiss, for His sake hear us. And Lord, as we are on this day of Pentecost, we beseech Thee to breathe Thy Spirit upon us and within us. Move us to take heed to the Word of God, read and preached also this evening. that we may obey the directions that Thou art giving in this chapter. That we may believe the promises also given in this chapter. And O God, and we pray that Thou would command deliverances of such who are here yet with an enslaved heart in the bondage of sin. Lord Jesus, we beg Thee to set free sinners from the bondage to sin and the oppression of unbelief and the tyranny of pride. O God, be pleased to ride forth as that conquering captain of salvation. And Thou, O Lord, would win hearts, consent to Thee, beloved captain, that Thou would lead girls and boys, young men, young women, to become strong believers, become faithful Christians, may turn out to be pillars in home, in this church, in this state, in society, wherever Thou art pleased to use them. We commit to Thee this rising generation, Lord. They're highly privileged with all what they may learn from their youth and their parents. We need Thee to breathe Thy Spirit upon them, that they may be early lovers of Thee and of righteousness and holiness. Unite their young hearts to the fear of Thy name. O God, turn their eyes away also from all the pleasures and vanities that can so easily fill our minds from morning to night. We beseech Thee, Lord, to lay hold of Thy young people. And we may thank Thee for each victory of Thy grace among us, among the young and among the older and elderly. For Thou hast called sinners out of darkness. Thou hast brought life and light also among us. Thou hast bowed knees. And Thou hast made tongues to confess that their only hope is in Thee alone. Search us, Lord, and lead us day by day, week by week, in that straight and narrow path that leads to life. And Thou knowest how easily, even when we are brought on that way, by Thy grace we can wander off and end up in the broad way again, at least in our mind and in our purposes, in our priorities and values. And therefore, Lord, Thou need to keep us on a short leash, and Thou knowest how to do that. And we pray if any of us are backslidden and have wandered off in heart or mind. And, O God, we pray that Thou would revive then. If we've left our first love, that Thou would again enable us to do those first works. And, gracious Lord, we pray for tonight's instruction also. Bless this portion of Scripture that we hope to examine. Open to our understanding what here is said by Thee to us, and enable us to receive the correction or the direction or the instructions that are here given in these short sentences that Thou caused the Apostle Paul to write. Lord, it is clear that Thou calls us to make choices, good choices, like Mary made. And will Thou help us to daily make those choices, to daily examine how we deal with the Spirit, and that the holy brethren, as Paul called them, also here among us, Lord, may not quench Thy Spirit as we do so easily to our detriment, but also to the dishonor of Thy glorious cause. And we again beg Thee that in this day and age we live, that Thou wilt revive the pulpits in this country. Lord, let every pulpit in this country experience what has happened before. That men who are preaching may be converted to preach as they never did before. And that the pulpits in which messages are brought that are totally irrelevant or unbiblical may become pulpits that may blaze with the truth of God. For the only way indeed that this country may have conscious become stirred again is through the preaching. Faithful, direct, cutting, instructive. We pray thee therefore, Lord, that thou wilt graciously clothe men to preach with the unction of the Spirit. Sometimes we're tempted to think it is too late. Sometimes indeed, Lord, we fear that thou hast moved on to new areas of the world where the kingdom of God never has been given the attention that it was given here. And yet thou hast promised never to leave thy remnant. And if that is thy will, O God, to indeed let us slide more and more into the decadent society that we are getting or are already. And if it is thy will, Lord, that the liberties to proclaim thy word without fear and without repercussions will be taken away, then we pray thee that thou would prepare us. I am totally unprepared for that, to preach at the cost of my life. And most of us here likewise will be totally unprepared to confess the name of Jesus, to stand for what is truth in the face of persecution. Prepare us, Lord. And may then whatever comes be for the good and for the revival of what is still left. And Lord, we are to mourn today. This is a day of thy Holy Spirit. We saw this morning how thou united men and women in this early church. And today we are to say the sad divisions among the living members of the body of Christ, scattered and separated, not only by cultures and by language, but by denominational walls. Teach us to weep, as my late father said so often, about the divisions and the brokenness of the body of Christ, of the despising of one another, of the politics in church, man seeking self-cultus, that we also are guilty of in our own religiousness. And dear Lord, we beseech thee then that thou would make our eyes to weep not only over the sins of the church, but also the sins of the nations. Help us to be like Jeremiah and like David. And he wrote that his eyes were as rivers of waters because they had made void thy law. Lord, where is the weeping that we do over them who break thy law, over the dishonor done to thy name? And we pray this evening that thou would touch us and all who gather in churches in this nation still. We lift up our leaders again. Thou knows how they dare to rewrite thy laws, Lord, written in genes, long ago as thou hast created us. And we realize that this is only the next step after they have discarded what thou hast written in stone. And Lord, where this all will lead in our nation, in our families, in our schools, thou knowest. But we also pray thou help us never to forget thy parting words All power is given me in heaven and earth, and I will be with you even to the ends of the earth. Lord, help us to never lose sight of that. And so strengthen now this evening's portion. Bless us and bless those listening at home or elsewhere. That also we may reach others, Lord, in this way. All the needs are known to Thee already. We laid them before Thee this morning. So hear us and take away what hinders us in listening and speaking. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. Let's sing 390. Lord, hear me in distress, and regard my suppliant cry, and in Thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. 390, 1, 2, and 3. The church on fire. That's Pentecost. The symbolic flame on top of those disciples' heads is symbolic of the incredible firepower. I say that in a reverent way. at the Church of Godhead in those early stages. The early church were church planters. Wherever they went, they preached the gospel. They were men who and women, young and old, who couldn't stop talking. Persecution scattered them. It was like Satan taking the fire and throwing it everywhere. The sparks everywhere started new churches. It is the most intriguing history to read, the history of the early Christian church. And what is the question that I'm asking you for a moment to think with me today is, what happened to that? Holy Spirit hasn't changed. There's no change of the word. Matter of fact, we have more words today than the early Christian church had. They largely were going with the Old Testament in their hand. No New Testament books until 40 years after Pentecost Day. And that was the book of James. So why is it not happening today, congregation? The society is combustible in the early Christian church, right? Rome was just dry wood. Barren. That was a very needy society. So there was enough flammable material, you would say, but today it's American society is just like Rome. You can look it up yourself in Romans 1. You don't need a whole lot of insight to read the description of the United States of America and Western culture in that regard. It's beyond our borders. So why is it not happening, this Pentecostal fire? It's easy for preachers, of course, to give the fault to the hearers and say, that's because you people are not on fire for the Lord. And there's truth to that. Who of us is? As we should. If you read to Revelation 2 and 3, and let's do that sometime again in these weeks, then look at your self-portrait. Are we a church in first love? Or are we also like Ephesus, we've left our first love, become commonplace about it, hold the right doctrines, hold the right truths, have the, you know, whatever we all do, but no flame, no fire. You go to the next church, Pergamos, compromise. Lots of things of the world have crept into the church. They feel cozy with the world. You come to Laodicea, lukewarm. Yuck. God is ready to spit them out. I'd rather have you hot or cold, Jesus says. At least I know where you stand. You go to those churches. You look at ourselves. You need to do that. I need to do that. You need to do that. And if we're like that, we're not on fire. We're not being there to be used by the Spirit of God to ignite new churches. I believe the real cause is on this place, on the pulpit. This one included, as well as many others in this nation. There's a lack of prophesying. That's remarkable that the Word of God uses in this chapter the word prophesying. What are prophets? Now you go look at the prophets once. Hosea lifted up his prophecy and he used a word that always really inspires me. He says, we have hewed you with the word. Now what is hewing? That's an old word for hitting you with an axe. Prophesying is different than preaching, teaching. Prophesying is to be the mouth of God without compromise, without cutting corners, without favoritism, without fear of men, without smooth talking, apostolic preaching congregation has turned in our days into the smoldering coal buried under the fear of man and the desire to please man. Many of us preachers, we use the word as a feathery fan. Feathery fan. Instead of using the word as a sharp sword. Where do you meet preachers who trumpet in your ear, repent ye, and believe? Uncompromising, not dulling it with, you can't do that. No, leave that. Just as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, you have taken him. You have crucified. That's what we did. Uncompromising command to repent and to believe. Where is the preaching in which your feet are held to the fire of God's wrath about your choices you make and the life you and I live? Easygoing lives in which the glory of God is not a priority, but which in our own comfort and our own desires and our own pleasure stand foreground, right? We need apostolic preaching today. In this nation again, and on our pulpits. Pray for us, therefore, that we may be prophets. Pray for all preachers in this country. I don't only pray for the ministers in the NRC. I pray for every minister on the pulpits in every denomination in this country. Why is that? If God convert them, that will make America great. There's thousands and thousands of people gathered every day on Sunday in church in this nation. Thousands, millions. If these pulpits are going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, then we will see something. And so begin to pray for your preachers in this country. No matter what color or denomination they are. Lift them up. Pray them full of the Spirit, friends. Yes, there are unconverted preachers all over in this world. They always have been. But they can be converted. They can change their preaching. I've met men who were preaching for years before God converted them. And their preaching changed. And then they kicked them out of the pulpit. Eventually, that may happen indeed. We need to pray for one another. Pray for these men to be endowed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that our words be clothed with the power of the Holy Ghost. No matter how weak, no matter how stumbling. I listened to a message once of a man who was a preacher, guys, kids, and he was a stutterer. It was hard to listen to. He said, what is he doing on the pulpit? Stuttering from beginning to the end. God used him greatly in the southern states of this country to bring tremendous revival in the areas where God used him. I think it was in Texas. So it doesn't matter if you're clothed with the Spirit of God and filled and endowed with this Holy Spirit, then yes, such preachers will not make your pews soft and comfy. They will not. They will not allow us to sit in armchair religion. No, they will not. They will cut us out of our false refuge. But though they may make it uncomfortable now, they may be used to keep you more comfortable later. Much later. Please, let us take this day of Pentecost as a fresh call for all of us as families and as children, as adults, pray. For the Holy Spirit. So this evening we have a portion of scriptures instructive for me and for you out of the chapter 5 of Thessalonians. It's speaking for us as preachers and it's preaching to the saints. So let's consider that for a moment this evening from 1 Thessalonians 5. And I can't really separate these verses all from each other, but the key verse is verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. That's going to add it to despise not prophesying. prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all evil. That they really all belong together as one small paragraph. Who's Paul preaching to? He knows in the end of the chapter, holy brethren. Brethren means brothers and sisters in Greek. So Paul is preaching to converted people. Yet the context of this chapter is the saints in Thessalonica, who are men, women, maybe boys and girls, who have been changed by God, regenerated, called from death to life, new life begun in them. To them he is writing, cleanse not the spirit. So also tonight then, the message here is to those who have the spirit. Because you can't cleanse them if you don't have them. This is for us, children of God. And Paul loves this congregation. He has been speaking much in favor of them and is very thankful with them. His preaching has ignited a flame of love. And you notice that in the first chapter he writes about that. Not only a flame of love, he is a flame that has become a fire that spreads. You are examples to everyone that believe in all of Macedonia and Achaia. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad. They're making headlines everywhere, this church. Now the churches are talking about the Thessalonians. Have you heard about them? God is doing a great work among those people. And Paul is naturally thankful for that. And yet you notice that he always presses them on to grow. In chapter 3, for example, he says, and the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another, toward all men. And night and day I am praying for you that I may perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So he sees that there's still room for growth. Now, in that context, let us consider then this evening, verse 19, quench not the spirit. The theme of our text says that we are to cultivate our devotional life. Cultivate means manage carefully. You know how you cultivate your fields as farmers and you cultivate plants? Cultivate. What I do in my little greenhouse hobby, cultivate those plants so they grow well. Cultivate your devotional life. And there's two things that you do to cultivate it. Don't quench it. Don't quench the fire. Secondly, feed the fire. That's what we do with fire. So let's look at that together. Don't quench the devotional life. The word quench is clear that it's extinguished today. Don't extinguish it. And here it is applied to the spirit. Now, obviously, Paul is not talking about don't quench the person of the spirit. This person of the spirit is untouchable by us. So he's talking about the influences of the spirit. He's talking about the power that the spirit exerts in us. So quench not the Spirit, so quench not the influences that the Holy Spirit has in and upon our lives. It's very important, the Holy Spirit. He's vitally important. He's really the sole source of all life. We sang it this morning, all our fountains are in thee. Well, maybe we didn't sing it this morning. I did. We didn't in the church. All our fountains are in thee. Now, he is the entire source. There's not anyone that has a movement toward God without the Holy Spirit. We don't breathe a sigh to God without the Spirit. Our hearts are not moved to love or to seek the Lord without the Spirit. Yeah, let that be clear to all of us. Without me or apart from me, you can do nothing, we heard last week. That is so true. We need the Spirit of God for every budding of life and every exercise of life and faith and love and hope. Without him, we may have much religion, but no holiness. Now, I've been hammering a little bit on this definition of holiness with you. Holiness is not religion. Holiness is not being somber or sober. That's part of it, perhaps it's very important. But holiness is defined as devotional love, the power and the fire of love in our heart and in our life and in our hands and in our tongue. That's holiness. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. What's the beauty of holiness? When we see the beauty of a devotional love that is fired in by the Holy Spirit that just comes out. Historians will tell you, what was the secret power of the early Christian church? What made them conquer this Roman Empire? What made them invade every aspect and every institution of the Roman Empire? What was it? Every church historian will come with the same answer. Love. There was no love in the Roman Empire. It was about me and I and your own prestige. You would kill the ones you don't like. You would dispose them in the streets if they are too sick to take care of. It was a callous, hard, cold, cruel, selfish society where everything is power. And there comes the Christians. And they begin to love. That's holiness. Holiness is love in the intensity and the beauty in which God loves. And where does it come from? The Holy Spirit. Quench it not, the influences of the Holy Spirit. And friends, these influences of the Spirit in us and through us are vital for the church and for the world. For the world, yeah. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. Holy brethren, let me use the name for a moment that the Spirit of God is using here. Holy brethren, the children of God among us, you and I are the light of the world. That means the only light. That's the only light. Jesus was the light, but he is in heaven. His body now is the light of the world. And if that light of the world is dim or hidden, what will happen to the whole world? It would increase its darkness. Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, and among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Now, what is on God's directive in our text? Quench not the influences of the Holy Spirit. How do you quench, children? How do you extinguish a fire? How do you make a fire go out? There's two ways. First, you throw something on it, like water. Or a big blanket. Starve it with oxygen. Fire will go out. That's one way. There's another way to make a fire go out. Just don't throw any fuel on it. It'll go out by itself. So we take those two common ways in which we deal with fires and bring it back to the Scriptures. Quench not the influences of the Spirit. So there's two things. We can either throw something on it, that will make it go out, our first thought, don't quench it, or we can keep the right fuel away, and the fire also dies out. Now let it be clear again, the Holy Spirit will never leave any of God's saints. Yeah, God's callings are without repentance. But the Holy Spirit's influence can be so quenched that God's children become dim and dumb. Remember, these two D's, dim and dumb. Dumb here means don't speak, silent. Dim means nothing attractive, formal, not alive. I feel challenged by this scripture. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Am I alive, Lord? Am I dim? Am I dumb? You say, ah, but you preach every Sunday. That's different. Am I dumb? My mouth closed when I get opportunity to speak elsewhere than on this pulpit. See, I can be that way too. We all have that. So, some people are... Let's think again about the word quench, not the Holy Spirit. Practically, friends, and what are saints to do so that the fire is stirred? And there's some people that are really afraid of the word do. We don't do anything. But you notice the Holy Spirit is not afraid to use that word in the Bible at all. He often speaks about what the saints are to do. Listen to this. Don't do this. Quench not the Spirit. Don't do that. Has an implication. Do the opposite. So reading this word in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, and Paul says to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee." Listen to that. Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Now the word stir up is the word kindle, cause to burn. Timothy, cause that gift of God to burn in you. See, the Holy Spirit is not afraid to use these kind of words to speak to the holy brethren, and to speak to the children of God. And Paul is not afraid to say to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 18, don't be drunk with wine. That will sure quench the Spirit, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit, he says. And so, how then do we cultivate or cherish the flame of the Holy Spirit? Let's look at six ways. Briefly, you can yourself flesh them out in your own thinking. First, be under the Word of God. Now I have to back up. What are we to do is first what it says in verse 20. Despise not prophesying. We quench the Spirit when we despise prophesying. What's prophesying? Teaching, preaching, instructing, explaining the Word of God. When you make light of what is spoken here in the name of God, you quench the Spirit. Even when it strikes you as against what you always thought, say, oh no, I never think that way. That's not what it is. Be careful. You better say, well, I better go check this out. This man says it's right in the pulpit. And if you can find wrong, you come to me. But if you can't find wrong, then you better change yourself. And if you don't, you quench the Spirit. Because you despise the Word of God, the prophesying. See, that's how we quench the Spirit. We make light of the preaching ministry. We ignore the Scriptures' teaching. We place our tradition, our belief, how we always did it, above the Word of God. Some of you do that. You just ask yourself, am I, Lord? But if you do, you quench the Spirit. Because we despise the prophesying. The Word of God is not being added to today. Here it is. All of what God ever wants to reveal in the Scriptures, He has given. He doesn't reveal anymore. All what we do, preachers, is expound. And if we don't expound, if we add our own ideas, you can dismiss it. But if it's Scripture, you can't dismiss it. You may have to say, you know what, I never saw it that way. I've been wrong in thinking that. This is biblical. You're right about that. I'll give you one example. I grew up in my life never hearing a word about tithing. Matter of fact, when I began to think and make some money, I began to ask people about it and say, ah, no, tithing. Don't have to worry about that. That's for the old days. People in our own NRC said that to me. Leaders in the NRC said that to me. I first thought of all, it's convenient. I like that idea. I'd rather keep my 10%. That's a lot of money a year time. But the Holy Spirit convicted me to begin to search the book. I found a different answer. No matter what they said, and no matter what they did all their life, this is what the book says. This is for you and me to figure out. What does the book say? I am not to despise prophesying. Because then I will cleanse the spirit, especially when I do it willingly. Now it's possible that I am not understanding a certain part of Scripture. I may be taught wrong, or I have a wrong idea. And congregation, I challenge you to be open to be examined to what the Scripture says. A sin of ignorance is indeed a sin. Though it is a sin of ignorance, and it is forgivable. But if it becomes a sin of, I don't want to go this way, it becomes a sin of commission in double strength. So let's be careful with that. Be like the Bereans. What they did with the Apostle Paul, you understand yourself. In one of the books of Acts, they checked him out. And you are to hold your preachers accountable. Do not think that we are inspired. When I stand on this place, I am not infallible. I'm just a man who expounds to you the revelation of the Scripture. And so you keep your ears open and examine what is being said. And if it is wrong, you have the responsibility to challenge me. If it's not wrong, you have the responsibility to change. Otherwise you despise the prophesying and quench the Spirit. And then what happens? You stand still. There's no growth. There could be a lack of assurance. There can be a lack of weakness. There can be a weakness. It's the Holy Spirit's mission to enlarge our knowledge and reveal more of Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's mission to empower each saint and ennoble their character and shedding abroad the love of God in their hearts till they become a new creature. And if the Holy Spirit is quenched, that stands still. You can be for years the same Christian without any growth. And it's sad because so many opportunities are lost then in this world in which we live. If we quench not the Holy Spirit of God. That was the first thing. We do it by despising. The second goes a little further with verse 21 and 22. We can quench the Holy Spirit by allowing wrong influences to douse the Spirit of God in us. Verse 21 and 22. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And abstain from all manner of appearance of evil. So as you consider that scripture, along with the scriptures in Mark 9, verse 42, and I'll read it to you. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into the life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that will never be quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. That's what Jesus says. If you tie it into this scripture, you can see what he means, what Paul means. Prove all things. God expects us to make choices. Children of God, he's given you a discernment you are to use. You have the Spirit of God in you. And as we listen to him, and as we examine in the scriptures, and we listen to him, and we are to prove all things. Is this a correct thing to do? Is this a wise thing to do? Is this a beneficial thing for me? Will this enlarge my spiritual communion, or will this shrink my spiritual communion with God? Prove all things. Examine all things. Let's ask that question. Will this quench the Holy Spirit's influence? When you read something, before you read, is this necessary for me to read? Will this have a quenching influence? Will there be fire or like a dirt on my fire? When you serve the internet, is it an important site for me to go to? Do I really have to click on this thing? Or is it one of these sites that's going to quench the spirit? Yes, children of God, that's what the apostle means here. We have to make choices. We have to keep or discard. He says, prove and hold fast that which is good. That implies throw away what is not good. Ask that question. Who do you visit with? Is that going to be quenching? Who you hang out with? Is that going to be stirring the right way? Is this hobby or this relaxation what I'm busy with? Or this conversation or the words I listen or the words I speak? Is that going to quench the work, the influence, the voice of the Spirit? And that's why I read from Mark. Jesus says, if your right eye is offending you. What does the word offend mean? Not are they offense. Leading astray. If your right eye is leading you astray. What does Jesus say? You cut it out. Cut out my right eye? Yes, he says. It's better to do that and go lost with both eyes. If your right hand, I'm a right-handed man, can't imagine losing my right hand. But if my right hand is leading me astray, Jesus, get a sword and cut it off. Now, not literally, please. Let's keep it in mind. He's figuratively. He says, those things that are leading you astray, cut it out. If you can't handle a smartphone, cut it out. If that's leading you astray, get rid of it. Get a flip phone. That's that simple. That's a choice I make. And if I don't make that choice, I might be quenching the spirit. Those are the practical applications we have to make. Abstain from all that is looking evil. What does in our mind, what corrupts, what hardens. So what the sum of this all is, congregation, is this anything that will dampen the spirit of piety, chill our feelings, render us cold and lifeless, is quenching. Here's a quote from one of the commentators. Worldliness, vanity, ambition, pride, love of things, love of dress, indulgence will quench the spirit. It is a great truth in the life of grace that all flames of devotion is the gracious fruit of careful cultivation. Let's sing together before I look at the other side of the story, or the text rather, Psalter 328. One through four, and there you have David's struggle with his sin and the temptation. So let's sing all four verses. me. What are the things that will feed the fire? Quench not the Holy Spirit's influences. Also is the other side. Do everything to stir, to cultivate, to accommodate the Holy Spirit's influences. Fire is best fed, congregation, we throw a nice piece of hardwood on it. Sure, if we throw some gasoline on it, it's super dangerous. It gives a fiery flash and it dies down again. That's not what we need. We need something solid that burns into a slow, glowing, hot fire. That's also spiritually what we need. So what are we practically to do then? As the children of God, holy brethren, Paul says. And there's about six things here I look at you with a moment. First of all, be under the Word of God. It's a choice you make to be here as much as you can, obviously. Be under the Word, also read your Bible. You make that choice every day. What time you put that alarm clock on in the morning, that's what you do. Nobody else does that for you. What time you retire at night is also something you do. That will quench or that will feed how much time I spend with the Bible. For where does the Holy Spirit blow? Through the Word. We have no command over the Holy Spirit. He's sovereign. But we know where He blows. I say it simply. If I want to feel the wind, I don't stay inside here. I have to go outside. That's where I feel wind. I want to experience the reviving and the stirring of the Holy Spirit. I have to be in the Word, in the preaching, the reading, meditation. The Holy Spirit's chariot is the Word of God. He cannot speak outside the Word. You know from your doctrine or classes or your catechism class, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. He speaks through the Word, Jesus. And therefore, when you want to seek the Spirit, you have to be in the Word. He also never speaks outside the Word. When someone says the Holy Spirit says to you and he comes with a nice story that's not in the Bible, you can say, well, it was imagination. Holy Spirit doesn't speak like that. Speaks to the Bible. That's the Word of Christ. But come with me, be in that Word. So, children of God, are you disciplined to read every day? As you eat more than once a day. Disciplining yourself to expose yourself to solid scripture reading and meditation. Are you beginning your day with the best feeding of your mind? That's the Bible. Or the second best, some solid Christian books, always after you read your Bible? Or at least not more than? Or do I allow the world and the news feeds and the text messages and the emails to come first in my mind? There's a lot of people who do that. They go to bed looking at the screen and they get out of bed looking at the screen. That is not what Paul has in mind when he says, quench not the Spirit. Let Jesus be the first to speak. Let His Word be the first to filter through your mind. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God have something to say to you, no matter how short it is, because your time may be limited. And let such reading be followed with meditation. What's God saying to me? How does it apply to me? What does He want me to change? How do I change? What do I need to put away? What is the sin? What is the promise? Let that Word speak.
And as you do, you notice the Spirit of God. He will feed the fire. He will stir it again. Secondly, prepare yourself for the weekly meetings for God's prophesying. I see the farmers doing a lot of work to prepare the field for seed. You won't think that any of these Wisconsin farmers will go on this winter soil and just drive over it and throw the seed on top of it. I don't see any of you brothers do that here who are farmers. Well done. You cultivate the soil. You prepare it before you get sowing. How many of you did do preparation this week to come to church? How many times did that cross your mind? Lord, prepare my heart for the coming Sunday when the seed is sown and I am again under thy ministry. Prepare my heart, Lord. Break it open. Cultivate it. Thirdly, seek the feeding by confessing sin. By sins that grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. You need to always be aware. Spirit is so ultra sensitive. More sensitive than any human being you are dearly related to ever will be. Yeah, if you have a good relationship, you know that the person is grieved and you misspoke or you miscommunicated something. And that we feel that. You need to confess that right away, as soon as possible. But that's also true of the Holy Ghost. He's more sensitive when our hearts wander. Our minds think. We feel that prompting of the Spirit. Hasten to the mercy seat. Fourthly, much in prayer. In private prayer and together prayer, as the opportunities are given, congregation, prayer is drawing near to the presence of God and placing our needs into the hand of God. That is laying the needs into the hand of the Almighty, whatever needs they are. And if those needs are dealing with the spiritual life and the spiritual walk and the spiritual joy and the spiritual love, let those needs be mentioned in your prayer. Lord, I need more of this and more of that as I face this and the challenges of today. Yeah, prayer and praying together. Now, fifthly, fellowship with other saints. You know how important that is? Some people don't think that's important. Now indeed, my finger has to be united to my body to get the benefit of the head. A finger alone, it's not going to work. You understand the importance of fellowship with other saints? It is through the whole body that Christ administers this Spirit to fellow saints. That's why fellowship is so important. Spurgeon has a nice example. He says, you look at this building, what is it made of? Bricks. He says, a brick alone is a useless brick. You can do nothing with one brick. But a brick, part of a building, is a useful brick. Now it's part of a building. Now that's what fellowship is all about. Are you fellowshipping with the sacred family of God? Are you visiting all brothers and sisters in this congregation? I'm talking now to you, children of God. Let's first talk about that. Are you visiting with the ones you are going to share eternity with? Making a roster. Making once a year or twice a year purpose. If you have more time, do so. To visit, to talk about the spiritual things. Why? That's how the Holy Spirit ministers, through the fellowship with one another. In order to grow, quench not the Spirit. Only in connection with the head and the body of Christ can we prosper. Now, lastly, quench not the Spirit. Notice, in everything give thanks. Pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus before you. Stands right before it. So Paul connects being filled with the Spirit with music. Here it is. Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Music is a wonderful way by which the Holy Spirit works. Music is an incredible communicator that the Spirit of God often has used. You know how blessed psalters can be. Think of the music of David as he sits there before this Saul. He's playing on the harp and no doubt singing with him. Holy Spirit calms that man. He wasn't even a regenerated man. Calms the spirit of that man. The devil knows it too, of course, that music is a powerful communicator. And he uses it just as well to communicate his lyrics, poison, ideas, beats into us. So choose your music well, but let music be part of your life. And singing, particularly here, is singing the psalms and the scriptural songs that are given to us and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And Colossians says the same thing, but then it connects it even with a different verse when Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So those are a few suggestions about how to feed this fire. Quench not the Spirit means also feed the influence and seek the influences of the Holy Spirit. So, dear congregation, and let me first rephrase that, dear children of God, this is a portion written for you. There's also an instruction for those of you who don't know God's grace in your life. Do you know, children and young people, whoever you are, this evening, the Holy Spirit has been striving with your soul today. You can vex Him. You can resist Him. You can reject Him. You harden your heart. This has been the day of the Holy Spirit today. He's been here. What will you answer Him? What will you do with that now? If you feel an impression tonight, if you feel like the Lord has been tugging on your soul string, what will you do with that then? The forefathers warned about that. You can get spiritual callous on your soul when the impressions He makes you ignore. And you build callous. Less and less sensitivity. Let that be a warning. Just so want you to experience the joy of the Holy Ghost. Kingdom of heaven is not in food and drink, and not in taste, not this, and touch not that. Please. That's religion. Spiritual life is in joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. I so long that every one of us here could share that joy and share that life. Young people, children, listen up. Bow your knees tonight in your bedroom before you go to sleep. And it says, Lord, that pastor said, that to know Thee is joy. Help me to also know that. Teach me. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, please, let Thy dear Spirit not allow us today to shrug our shoulders on what we heard. We do it so easily. We get so involved. And we run on. Let that not happen, Lord. Allow us not to do that. But kindle in our hearts tonight in hunger, desire, If you've never had that, oh God, convert the unconverted, but also convert the converted, because we can stray. We can quench the spirit, as we heard tonight. I pray thee, O gracious Lord, that this instruction tonight may become multiplied in blessings as we meditate it. Help us to be finding the application and be then the after preacher in this day. We ask thee to go with us in the week ahead, Lord, as we do our work and as we travel perhaps or whatever is required from us. Keep us all safe and well, and help us enjoy what we may do. Remain separate from all the quenching influences of this world. And as we work perhaps with unsaved and unregenerate people, Lord, and please use us whatever, in whatever way thou art willing to do. All this we pray in the confession of our many sins, also with regard to this third person, the Holy Spirit. That thy blood cleanse us from all sin. Therefore, Lord Jesus, thou cover us and wash us, renew us. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Psalter 221. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, with cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. What follows in 221, all verses.
receive now the Lord's God blessing, and let's go together in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Steps away from the things of science. The opposite of that is, well, we've Well, if you got to give up.